The views and opinions expressed on this show are solely the opinion of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Grown Folks Talk Radio Network and or Dreams Fulfilled Media. Listener discretion is advised.
You need to shut the f*** when Grown Folks is talking.
This is a Dreams Fulfilled Media production.
Welcome to Grown Folks Talk, where we promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help us God.
Warning, this show is not for the faint at heart. So, if you're incapable of keeping it real, if you're not ready to face your issues, or if you're sensitive on any level, then please don't even bother sitting your ass at the round table.
Please note that our views and opinions are just what they are. Our views, our opinions.
We're not licensed therapists.
We are licensed realists, ladies and gentlemen. Now, here's your host, Mr. Sean D. Upshaw.
What's going on, grown folks? Thank you for tuning in and meeting me at the round table for another episode of Grown Folks Talk with Sean D. Upshaw. Of course, I am your host, Mr. Sean D. Upshaw, and I appreciate you taking time out of your night to tune in and hear what I have to say, along with my men panelists for tonight. As always, I want to send a shout out first and foremost to Dreams Fulfilled Media for making it possible to bring you Grown Folks Talk each and every Tuesday and Thursday night. But more important, I want to send a shout out to the listening base. You guys are just simply amazing. And our platform continues to grow each and every week with these controversial topics that we bring to the roundtable. And I'm just thoroughly impressed. As I said on Tuesday, I had a chance to take a look at the numbers for the month. And like I said, I'm not going to throw any numbers out there, but I am overwhelmed and I definitely appreciate it. We're just going to continue to grow, continue to have these real conversations because they need to be had. But anyway, tonight, as always, you're in for entertaining, informative and real show as we speak on or continue to speak on the topic that we had on Tuesday, which is why do you hate on your black sister? Why do you hate on your black brother? And of course, joining me each and every Thursday night is my main man, the multi-millionaire himself, Mr. Andre Spence. What's going on, brother? I think we lost Andre, but it's all good. We're going to bring him back in when he comes back in the studio. Well, I tell you. But anyway, I just want to kick tonight's Hell Nah segment off in a way that it's kind of crazy. I found this story, and I think you guys are going to enjoy it. But anyway, lottery officials said this week the holder of a winning ticket must come forward by the end of Thursday's business to claim a $63 million jackpot. I don't know. I found this. This is crazy. But anyway, in Los Angeles, this guy named Brandy Milner claims he purchased the winning ticket on August 8th. And after the draw, lottery officials confirmed that that was the only winning ticket that had been sold in Los Angeles County. The problem with that is when he send the ticket in and they send him the letter back to claim anyway, he can't claim it because they're claiming that his ticket is damaged. What? So basically, this man has a $63 million ticket, $39 million after taxes, that he can't claim because the lottery officials claiming that the ticket is damaged. So tonight's Hail to the Nah moment goes to the state of California for withholding this man's money, knowing he got to pay child support, all that other good stuff that comes along with winning $39 million. Shame on you, California, for holding this man money due to the fact that he has a simple, spot or wrinkle on the ticket. It's the winning ticket. Just use the numbers. That's the biggest thing. Just use the numbers. But anyway, I see the multi-millionaire is back. What's going on, brother? What happened to you, man? You left
me. I'm just flabbergasted. Mind boggled. Based on that, they doing that man wrong like that, man. Yeah, they know that, yeah, like you said, they know that man how to pay child support.
Yeah, they definitely know that man wrong. They're doing that man wrong.
Oh, man. That's bad.
But anyway.
Anything to keep the man from getting what he needs to get.
Exactly.
That's why I'm
exactly
not a gambler. Shout out to all you Powerball winners.
But you know what? I ain't going to front to you, man. I'd be a little pissed off because here
that's
I am. You know, I've been running my numbers each and every week, probably what he's been doing. And I finally hit, and I hit big. Then I send it in, and here you are telling me I can't cash it because it's damaged.
What the? That's going to court, and I think that he'll end up getting his winnings. If they've already validated that it's his, they've already validated the fact that it is a winning ticket. He actually turned it in before the time of it's too late, that they should give the man his money.
Well, yeah, I feel you.
Like ODB.
Yeah, pay that man. But anyway, you know, we did the Hell No moment this week. A little different because we usually do it after the multi-millionaire section.
Right.
It usually sets me up, but, you know, something happened, something transpired where we lost you, but you back. It's all good. So to my listening audience, this is multi-millionaire Mr. Andre Spence, who brings you his millionaire perspective each and every Thursday. I'm ready, man. What you got for me?
All right. This week, once again, I'm Andre the Multi-Millionaire. You can catch me on Facebook. Look under Andre Spence. I'll add anybody to my page, and just I'm glad that you all are listening in to the show. However, this week, like we mentioned before, when we first started this at the beginning of the year, being a millionaire means that we are going to be multi-millionaires being honest within ourselves. And in 2016, the Sweet 16, our goal is this, one thing and one thing only for Sweet 16. We are going to bankrupt the bullshit in our lives.
Hell yeah.
This year, you are going to file bankruptcy. It doesn't have to be financial bankruptcy. It could be emotional bankruptcy. It could be situational bankruptcy, relationship bankruptcy. Whatever it is, you're filing bankruptcy on that bullshit in your life. And this week's goal for bankruptcy is, it's my fault. You got to admit certain things to yourself. Hey, it was my fault. Whether it was because that relationship didn't work out, and you know what you were doing to her or you were doing to him, you've got to let that go and say, it was my fault. If you were late for work 5 days in a row and they called you into HR and you got wrote up, guess what? In 2016, you're going to have to make some changes and have to admit, it's my fault. I know I'm the one that's been late. Whatever it may be in your situation, this week's bankrupting bullshit, if you're going to be a multi-millionaire in 2016, there are certain areas that you're going to have to suck that shit up and admit, it's my fault the business hadn't got started. It's my fault the book has not been written. Now, we understand that circumstances come and circumstances go. But at the end of the day, certain situations, you have to admit, it's my fault.
Definitely.
And that is this week's multi-millionaire bankrupting bullshit editorial.
Well, I'm taking that. That's the problem with a lot of us. Sometimes we don't want to admit that it's our fault. So that's a good one. I think that's a good one for the week. But look, man, we got a hell of a show. We got a hell of a show today. I'm super excited. We got one of my good friends. Yeah, we got one of my good friends coming in the studio tonight, Mr. Anthony D. Collins. If you haven't had a chance to follow this brother or see who really Anthony D. Collins is, then you slipping. You need to go on his social media. Friend him. His brother be out here dropping knowledge. I think this is the perfect topic to bring him in on as we discuss. Why do you hate on your black brother tonight to pick up where we left off on Tuesday? So this is definitely going to be an interesting discussion. But what we're going to do right now is we're going to take a short break for station identification. On the other side of the break, we're going to come back. We're going to jump into this discussion. And more than that, we're going to bring in Mr. Anthony D. Collins himself to find out, why do us as black men hate on our black brother? Sit back, relax. We'll be right back after this.
This is Real Talk for real people seeking real solutions to real problems. This is Grown Folks Talk with Sean D. Upshaw. Coming to your speakers now. Your source for real talk with no bullshit. You're tuned in to Grown Folks Talk with Sean D. Upshaw on the Grown Folks Talk Radio Network.
If you can't handle grown folks' truth, then
you can't handle the truth.
This is Grown Folks Talk with Sean D. Upshaw on the Grown Folks Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back, grown folks. If you're online and you'd like to be a part of the roundtable discussion, then do so by dialing the Grown Folks Talk hotline at 646-787-1851. Press 1 to get into the queue, and we'll be glad to pull a seat out at the table for you. Now, let's get back to the discussion at hand.
That's right. Let's get back to the discussion at hand. It's me, Mr. Sean D. Upshaw, and I want to thank you for tuning in. If you're just not tuning in, it's a little bit after 10 after hour, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 Central, where the studio is located here in New Orleans. And as I said, tonight's topic is, Why do you hate on your black brother? It's a continuation from the topic that we introduced on Tuesday to the women's panel, which is why do you hate on your black sister? That was a very powerful show. I'm quite sure most who have listened would agree. Of course, you know, joining me on Thursdays is not Timna, but it's my brother, Mr. Andre Spence. And Andre, the multi-millionaire. You had a chance to really listen to that show, man. And I must say that it was powerful. But as I'm not going to be front to you, as I was listening, as I was doing the show and listening to the show, I kept saying, I can't wait until Thursday. I can't wait until Thursday. I can't wait until Thursday, because it's just something about when we as brothers can come to the table, three mature brothers can come to the table and really discuss some of the issues that are within the black community. And that's what we're focusing on this month of Grown Folks Talk with Sean D. Upshaw, focusing on issues and taboo subjects within the black community, because something has to change. And I wanted to dedicate this month, because it's Black History Month. It's already a short month, but you know, I wanted to do as much as I can concerning this month, because I really want to get down to the nitty gritty of these issues, man. So I'm ready to get started. I don't know about you, but anyway, let me bring in and introduce to some, you know, Mr. Anthony D. Collins. What's going on, brother? Anthony, you there? I guess we lost Anthony for a minute. So what we're going to do is...
Can you hear me?
I think that was him. What's going on, Anthony? All right?
What's going on, brother? I'm here.
Oh, okay. Cool, man. I don't know what's going on with Blog Talk tonight, but nevertheless, this must be one of them shows that's going to be good, because they always tend to fuck with me when I have good shows. So,
man. What's going on, brother Dre?
Hey, brother. How you doing, Anthony?
I can't call it, man. I can't call it at all, man.
Oh, we got a good topic coming up, man. I'm glad you're on board with this one.
Yeah,
oh,
cool.
Yeah. This is nice, man. This is nice.
Yeah. So before we jump into the topic, Anthony, and get to discussing some of these issues, man, give the listeners a brief description of who you are and what you do, brother.
Okay. For those who don't know, my name is Anthony D. Collins. I'm an author, a radio host, and a business owner as well. I wrote a book called Life is Outstanding. I have a radio network called Vibration Radio, and it's now being merged with Telekinian Media, which is called Your Radio Networks. You can catch me on Facebook, Anthony D. Collins, Twitter, Anthony D. Collins, LinkedIn, Anthony D. Collins. Anthony D. Collins, you to death, put it that way.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it, man. That's it in a nutshell.
Yeah. Well, that's cool, man. And like I said, man, I appreciate you for coming on to the show, man. I've been knowing this brother for quite some time now, man. Very positive brother, and actually is going to bring something very interesting to the table. I don't know if somebody catching a little feedback on your end, but I have some. So if one of you guys can maybe turn down your phone, or if you have a headset on, turn that down or get rid of it, then we can move forward the conversation. But anyway, let's jump right into this, man. I posed some questions online, and one of them being the basic one. Why do you feel that we hate on our black brothers? And Anthony, since you're the guest, I'm going to let you jump on this right off the rip.
I believe it's several different things, man. I think the first one is lack of communication among us. A lot of cats don't know how to deal with emotions. The older we get, the more emotional we get, and we don't like to face that, because a lot of times we've been taught that, you know, men don't have emotions. We don't cry. We don't feel sad or depressed or anything like that. So we kind of react with those emotions with anger. And a lot of that anger goes to the next brother. And then lastly, but I think the most important one is the media, TV, radio, music, all that vibration that comes on to us is mostly negative. The violence that we see on TV, how they portray us. So that gives us the energy to try to hit on the next man. And you know, I'm sure we'll get into a lot of those topics a little bit tonight as well.
Oh, definitely. So, Dre, what are your initial thoughts as far as, you know, why do we hate on the black brother?
Well, my initial thoughts are, and I kind of experimented with this week in regards to that hatred of the black brother by, you know, oftentimes we were walking in a building and the brother's coming in and I'm coming out, and the behavior pattern that we both have. And I experimented with that all week. And I noticed that based on age, it was different responses. Based on demographic, when I was in the hood, it was more or less like, you know, how we do the head nod. But when I came to more suburban areas, it was more of, hey, how you doing, brother? How you doing? And we walked past each other. So I noticed that it was demographics. And also I noticed it was class.
or maturity based mm-hmm. on if that person that I'm trying to speak with or just walking past, if their energy is not a mature or an energy that is a positive energy, then I find myself being dismissive and they found themselves being dismissive of me as well. But once again, it depends on the individual. So I don't think that it's necessarily a cookie cutter response. But what I have found by, like I said, this week's experience and experiment, that mainly it centers around age and it's been centered around demographics and it centers around class. Whether it be if I'm dealing with somebody that's more economically based compared to if I'm in the area that's less economically based.
That's an interesting point. I never looked at it from that perspective. I've always looked at it from a perspective of just getting to the center of it, which I really believe is insecurities. So,
yeah.
So my thing is if it's insecurities, then, you know, how do we get out of that whole feeling of feeling insecure around our brothers to the point where we can unite instead of segregate?
I mean, if you think about what we're talking about now, everything that I mentioned, everything that Brother Dre mentioned are insecurities. We all have them. But I think mm-hmm. the biggest problem is that we don't know how to control them or we don't know how to face them head on. Most mm-hmm. insecurities are our biggest fears. And what is fear? Fear is usually something that you don't want to face or you try to brush under the rug. But no matter how much you do that, it's always going to come back to you every single day of your life until you face it and try to deal with it and balance it out. You know, we always going to have insecurities, brother. But the thing is try to balance it out, you know, to try to challenge those insecurities and get to a place where you feel comfortable no matter what neighborhood you go to, no matter what class of people you go to. Like, I've been on the block. I just left a repass and one of my homies got murdered, you know, and I just left that. And what Dre was talking about, it is a different type of response where you shake it up with those type of people than where I had a meeting like yesterday downtown, you know, in a big high rise. And it's a different type of thing there. But if you bring a certain type of energy to anybody, especially to our brothers, they're going to feed off that energy. But a lot of times it still comes back to what you're saying, you know, the lack of communication, the insecurities, and us trying to learn how to deal with our emotions.
Well, the thing of it is learning how to deal with our emotions. In the midst of that, I began to pose the question, why is it so tough for black men to accept criticism? Because the thing of it is here we are. We know it's an issue. We know it's internal. And oftentimes when we bring it to that man, you know, bring it up, is always flipped around and say, oh, you just jealous.
True.
Of me. Or, you know, you don't know me or you don't understand me or whatever the case may be. So what are your thoughts on that?
Right. For me, I think it's a maturity level. And that's what Dre was just talking about. I think it's about how mature are you? And I know I was that person. I was that person that would flip it back on you or anybody else if you was trying to point out or criticize me or say some things about me. That's who I was. But as I got older, I wanted to hear that. I wanted to hear my faults because I was trying to figure out, like, how can I be a better person? We all know that we're living in cycles. Like, you know, when you get to a certain point in your life, brother, I know you've been there. We all been there. And you keep doing the same old thing. And it's not working. So at some point, you have to try something different. And for me, it was like facing that person. Like, you know, asking my mom or asking some of my homeboys or asking somebody I didn't know, hey, man, what you think that's wrong? What do you think is wrong with me? Or when some constructive criticism came my way, just listen. A lot of times, we don't listen. We pretty much, like, as I'm talking, people are thinking about their response. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. As you hearing me talk and as your listeners hearing me talk, they're thinking about their response. They're not sitting back, relaxing, and closing their eyes and actually listening to what I'm saying. And that's, I think, our biggest problem, especially as a black brother.
Definitely. Dre, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I have to agree 100% with what he was saying in regards to the not listening. And the best part statement that he made was the cycles that we go through. Because one of the things that you would notice that this behavior pattern doesn't happen, as this negative behavior pattern, this insecurity, is not commonplace among the mature African-American males. Secondly, we have to admit and talk about the elephant in the room.
the discrepancy, the battle. I've been saying this for the last 15 years. There's a war going on in the African-American community, and it's black people versus niggas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, sometimes we feel that the niggas are winning out, and niggas sometimes feel that black dudes are winning out. And if you walk around with that nigga-like behavior, and I hate to use that word, but sometimes
no, I mean, you
that,
keep it
that,
real.
That enslaved mentality, yeah, and that's what I mean by that, enslaved by can't nobody tell you anything, whether you be male or female. If I, it could be something small. You can go into to the dollar store and wanna somebody's looking for something, and you see basically what they're looking for. But just because you gave them some advice on something or just something minute, you find this starch defensive behavior, and you're like, wait a minute, we should be beyond that. But if you go and talk to somebody that is of black descent, when I say black, I mean mature, has or growing into maturity, just like the brother said, can take criticism or take assistance or take enlightenment, it's totally different. So when we sit back and we talk about the difference between the situation between black men and how we treat each other, the problem that I find is I'm getting to that point where I'm tired of dealing with niggas. It's almost like we get tired of like dealing with the niggas that shoot up the party. Like everybody's having fun. The good news is going on. All of a sudden, here these niggas come. Well, in life, they'll have to deal with these niggas. Look at this nigga over here. He know he ain't supposed to. That's one of the things that, and not to be babbling, but that's one of the things that I'm finding to be problematic. And the sad part is with this, when I was doing the experiment this week, I found myself having to ask myself, wow, can I even relate to certain brothers anymore? Because now that I live more in a more suburban area, more better area than, come on, Sean, you and I are from east side Detroit, so we don't live that. But every time I go back to the D, I'm looking like, I need to lock my doors. I wasn't like that at one point. You see where I'm coming from? And sometimes subconsciously I found myself now this week asking myself, am I treating my brothers that way because I feel somewhat socially or economically better than who I used to be, and I'm prejudging them within milliseconds? You see what I'm coming from?
Yeah, I hear where you're coming from. And the thing of it is I don't think you're prejudging them. I think you're just being smart. Because even when I go back home to Detroit, it's just certain things that kick back within me. It's a survival tactic, bruh. And the thing of it is once you're from Detroit and you know how to survive because you survived it, the instincts just automatically come back. So I don't think you're looking at it in a bougie way like, you know, I live in the suburbs now and I don't deal with you. It's just due to the fact that, okay, I understand people are struggling, but I think some people would take their struggle in a total different direction and try to take from me versus actually go out and doing something that they're supposed to do in order to improve their struggle. If you're online, live streaming, you want to be a part of the conversation, 646-787-1851, 646-787-1851. Get in here at the round table. If you're already at the round table, press 1. We'll get you in here to hear what you got to say. We actually have a caller, area code 832-317, area code 832-317. Young Grown Folks Talk with Sean D. Upshaw. What can I do for you?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hey, what I like to do is I like to talk a little bit about what you guys were talking about. I think sometimes presentation and timing is everything. It's one thing to listen to constructive criticism, but then how is that constructive criticism delivered, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a certain, let's call it a formula of success of delivering constructive criticism, and most of our people really don't do it. And I learned it a long time ago working with a very large company as I was a trainer and manager. A lot of times people just want to talk about the negative. And when you talk about the negative of somebody, you know, everybody has things, or let's call them areas of opportunity, right? So everybody has areas of opportunity as we all try to look at achieving whatever, you know, our potential is, right? When we talk to each other, we kind of talk down to each other. It's very abrasive. It's very, you know, you're wrong and look at how you're doing it. And, you know, what you might call quote unquote clowning somebody, right? So a lot of times you're not going to take constructive criticism and you I'm not going to take it and you clowning me. I'm not. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. on the flip side of that, when you talk to somebody from a positive standpoint, and let's use something that everybody in life goes through. Let's talk about parenting tactics, right?
Okay.
So you,
okay.
And people will say, you know, that person's a bad parent, and what kind of parent is that, and this, that, and the other, as opposed to sitting down if you really care if this person improves or not, and say, you know what, I've seen the way you communicate with your son. I've seen how you do. I think all of that is great. One thing that I saw is that you lost a little patience. Now you can take that a little bit better than you shouldn't be hollering at your son, and you shouldn't be, you know what I mean? It's a lot of times, I think, in my humble opinion, is that a lot of times, a lot of that comes from presentation. Now,
gotcha.
With some of the, I'm from Chicago, right? And I'm from like Chirac, like the gully. So me and you boys probably see eye to eye. And I too live in the suburbs right now, right? I think a lot of it is knowing where we were, knowing what we had to go through, and that attitude of back then, like, you know, I'm one of the baddest dudes on the block, or I roll with the baddest dudes on the block, and y'all not gonna move me. Knowing what it takes to do that or to go there with somebody is now making you a little bit more hesitant because you so past that. You know what the repercussions of that situation, how that could turn out, and you didn't live that situation. Not saying you done punked out. And I'm going to tell you, I took my kids, my oldest son wanted to go to a skate park. And when we pulled up, it was all black people at the park. And I don't let my kids really listen to new hip hop or any of that. And they was all out there, and it was this, that, and the other. And at first, I was going to turn back, and I caught myself, and I even told my wife, I caught myself, and I was like, you know what? It's a shame that I got to see more white people than black people to make it feel like it's a safe park. And not that I felt threatened as a man, because, I ain't trying to say I'm a clown with the ones and twos, but I'm all right. But I just didn't want my kids to be around that.
To see that.
That whole, right. And when I went out there, nothing popped off. Everything was cool. And I was just about to turn back around. And I was like, you know what? This is just going to be a coachable moment if we in that moment. So I know exactly what you're saying from that standpoint. But the other part to it, and this is my last piece to it, is that I think us as a people, we have a lot of problems, a community, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be one solution to solve all of our problems. And sometimes I think people look at that, right? So they knock what other people are trying to do because they think that one solution is going to solve all of our problems. And that's not the situation. So when somebody is trying to come up with a solution and people are knocking it down and they selling, like you say, each other out because of our insecurities, a lot of it has to do, because we always, one brother said earlier, we always will be insecure. We are, and I can tell you how the brain works and why we always will be. It's something called the reptilian brain. You can look it up. And it's always going to have some type of insecurities, but you got to know how to, you got to train yourself how to talk it down and the whole nine. But I'm not going to get into that. But my thing is, my thing is really, you really got to look at how we talk to each other. And it's not really from an insecurity. It's from where we from. You know what I'm saying? Like everybody that's really black got some type of hood in them, majority of them. And if they don't, sometimes they seem to come off a little bit prissy or, you know, pretentious or whatever the case may be, like they came from a good family. But when you're talking to a man that built himself up, it's hard to tell that man anything because a lot of times they didn't have a father in their life at that time. And so I built up the man that I am right now without a father figure or whatever, and I'm a good father right now. So it's hard for you to come to tell me, especially in a negative way, without giving me the feedback. And then if I'm coming up with a solution, if your conversation to me is that of what needs to be done, or I just need to do this better, and I'm coming up with a solution, and, you know, you Uncle Larry sitting on the couch and then you ain't done shit your whole life, I got a problem with that. We got beef now. Because I'm just trying to do a little bit of good. I ain't trying to solve every black person problem, you see what I'm saying, or all the black problems in the community. But if I'm trying to solve a problem and you're trying to tell me something different, so, you know, that's a little thing, something too. So that's
yeah,
all.
I
just wanted to put my two cents in. That's all.
Well, hey, look, man, we appreciate you for calling in and sharing that. And to be honest with you, he has some great points. And I think the bottom line,
yeah,
Anthony and Dre, there is no set solution, but I guarantee that it just starts from simple conversations like this. Because the thing of it is we have to, at some point, we have to plant the seed. Now what comes along, what follows planting the seed and comes along and water that seed, that's determined by your mindset in which direction you want to go. But I think it's conversations like this, you know, and what the brother just said, having these type of conversations and how you present these type of conversations is what's going to water that seed. Anthony, I mean, where are you at with this, brother?
No, I mean, I sit back a lot and just really, really listen. And what the brother was saying was 100% on point. You know, presentation is definitely important. And I think it still comes back to communication, you know, the lack of. But how do we change that is what you just said. We have started these conversations that we're starting tonight. And we try to bring more brothers in and more brothers having these conversations. And knowing how to deal with the anger, the frustration of growing up or surviving in the hood or being in the now. And I get that. You know, sometimes you see certain scenarios and you don't want your children to participate in that. But I've kind of taken a different turn in the sense that I would allow my kids to go with me when I went to my old neighborhood because I wanted them to experience it and see how it really was versus the television showing them. Or versus somebody else trying to explain it to them, and they might get the wrong misunderstanding about it. You know, I want them to see exactly what I went through and what I didn't have to go through.
That's right.
You know, so with nobody else, you know, because you know how it is with our babies. You know, sometimes if we try to protect them for certain things and they really want to know, it's too
they're
much.
They're gonna do it behind our back.
Too much other stuff. Exactly, and then somebody gonna give them the wrong impression. So I try to put my implant in them. And it was funny because I remember one time something happened to my son. And he said, "Dad, I remember when you told me this and this happened to you. And I thought about that. I took a deep breath and I made this move. And it worked out exactly the way you said." That's kind of what I kind of want, you know, and I think we all want that. And there's nothing wrong with the brother when he said that he almost turned around and wanted to protect his children from that. If he hadn't turned around, that wouldn't have been the worst thing in the world because sometimes you just don't know.
Well, yeah, like I told Dre, I don't think it's more of us turning our nose up. I think it's more of just instincts kicking in, just assessing the situation because, I mean, hell, we've been there. Like if I roll to Detroit right now and I'm having my daughter with me and I'm rolling through my old neighborhood, I mean, of course, I'm on high alert because I know how they get down. I know how they got down when I was coming up. And the shit is 20 times worse now. So how do you expect me to act when I'm in that, you know, that type of environment? That's just where it is. So my thing is when I try to reach back to some of those people who are basically stuck mentally, because anybody can get unstuck physically, but it starts from the mental standpoint. So when I try to reach back to those brothers who are mentally stuck or try to show them a different direction and how to better their situations, they hit me with it. Oh, you think you're better than me? Or, you know, everybody ain't able to do what you did. Everybody, yes, you are, brother. All you have to do is just get a plan in place. But nobody wants to get the plan in place because nobody ever wants to listen to whatever you have to say. I experienced this so much to the point where I'm telling you, the list of people that I can call a friend, I swear, man, it's small. It's so small, like I can fit it in one of the most smallest places in the world, because the thing of it is real friends are able to accept criticism. They're able to know where you're coming from, and they know that, hey, I'm not hating on you. I'm trying to improve you, brother. So that's.
But you know, and that's a great point. But you know what I'd like to add to that, and it kind of just shocked me. You know, I just mentioned to you, I just came from a repass from one of the homeboys from the block. But even before that, it's been really rough on the neighborhood because, like, four of my close, you know, childhood friends in the past 30 days have died, but two of them was from health conditions, and we do need to take better care of ourselves, but that's a whole other topic. But when you start pumping grown folks talk the way you pumping it now, when I start doing what I'm doing, when Dre do what he doing, when the brother doing what he doing, and you like have so much energy and you vibrating at a certain level, those people that you're talking about who say, well, you acting like this and acting like that, eventually they're going to reach out to you. Dog, it shocked me when I walked in this place and just was like, hey, good to see you. And half that room said, I read your book. And I'm talking about, we talking about some gutters type dudes. I'm like, what? I'm like, oh, I appreciate that. And they wanted to, you know, I'm thinking about what's going on, but they wanted to make it a point to say, dog, I read your book. Not like, for real, your book was on point. You know what I'm saying? So when you raise yourself to a certain level, they don't come to you. You see what I'm saying? Or they're going, even if they don't come to you directly, brother, believe me, the same brothers are reading your books. They might not even ever tell you. Oh. They're reading your books, they listen to your show, and they following you. And that's the best you can do.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. Like, I'm going to say something, then I'm going to accept this call. I see you, Carl. I'm coming to you right now. Some of the people, to this day, I still don't know what I did to some of the people in my old neighborhood. But when it got back to some of the people that, you know, I was writing books, you know, I was starting to do things in a more positive way and really taking the knowledge that I have and traded in the manipulation factor for the actual positive movement factor, I'm going to tell you the words that I've heard from many people who come back to me on many occasions. You know what they said? Well, fuck that. Sean.
I've heard that. I thought I was the only one.
Okay. And I've heard that too. And I remember when I first came out, that's the initial. And then you would hear the stuff like, oh, I remember when he used to do this, or he was like and all that. You're right. But again, though, when you still keep raising your level, because you're doing it now, you still keep raising your level, you're not going to be able to help everybody, and everybody not going to appreciate your work. You're still going to find more people that appreciate your work than the more people that's going to say, fuck Sean. Trust me.
Yeah.
It might just, because when I think back, and I'm glad you brought that point up, because when I think back, that was the first initial response. Most people was like, well, this nigga wrote a book? Tom, come on, stop playing.
Yeah. But I had to really, I'm one of those people that assess every situation. And now that I'm a little older, and now that I'm doing what I'm doing, as far as really just paying attention to people, I really came to the conclusion that it boils back down to what we said in the beginning, insecurity. Because I believe if I can put that much emotion into you by what I'm doing for it to muster up a fuck you, then I'm doing something right. But the thing of it is you won't swallow your pride in order to come to me and say, brother, can you help me? Or brother, can you show me how to get to the mental level that you're on? Not saying I'm at a mental level that's higher. It's just, look, the only difference between me and you is I knew I had a choice and I decided to go left instead of right. So let's take this caller. Let's take this caller, area code 770-510, area code 770-510. You're on Grown Folks Talk with Sean D. Upshaw. What do you have for me?
Hey, how's it going?
Everything's good.
Hey, cool. Well, I wanted to talk about the initial question of why do black males, we have a problem or kind of hate, quote-unquote, with other black males. And I think that it has a lot of layers to this issue, a lot of intersectionality issues, systemic issues that go along with this. And me personally, I have a lot of clients. I'm a therapist, and I work in the jail system here in Chicago, Cook County. I noticed a lot of transference going on, as we would say in world psychology, and the transference on the part of the other black male, that they would see what would be potential, what they had, they would see it in you. And I think that with the trauma maybe of their livelihood, their adulthood, their childhood or something like that, whatever obstacle that came in their way that prevented them from reaching the goal that you may have had, I think that angers a lot of men. I think it angers a lot of people today, especially in today's economy and with education being more expensive and opportunity becoming very scarce, especially for black people. And also that leads me to the thing of manhood, you know, and the thing of manhood being in question, especially in the black community, and a lot of young boys these days, young black boys, not knowing really what is manhood, you know, what is, you know, what does it mean to be a man? You know, it's sad to say, but a lot of our young black males are raised by women. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, and due to mass incarceration of the black male and other issues along with that, you know, the aggressiveness that a young boy feels, he's getting all that feminine energy from his mother. You know, mm-hmm. where's he getting his masculine energy from? So he's feeling all these emotions, he's grown with all this anger. He doesn't know why, you know, mm-hmm. You know, the mother's treating him like, you know, like he's her boyfriend, not in a sexual way. But in the mm-hmm. symbolic way of how some of these women, I'm pretty sure y'all have seen how some of these black women be talking to their son. You know, mm-hmm. you motherfucker, this
my little man.
You know, mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, like that's your child. That's not your man. You know, you don't talk to him like that. You don't treat him like that. It's a certain way that you're supposed to talk to your child. You know, and my third point, whatever I just want to get out is. I think we have to be careful, especially brothers who have the education, who have the careers going on, because it's easily to become that bourgeoisie Negro that looks down at your brother.
Right.
You know, you know, I always was taught, you know, walk with kings but never lose the common touch. Now, when I go on this, I think maybe my entire time being in Cook County Jail, I've only encountered only two males that were just, they were old black males, whatever, and they were pretty envious, I'm going to just say. Mm-hmm. You know, they really didn't like the fact that I had on my clothes and they were in jumpsuits, you know, and things like that. It was that nature. But those two out of the hundreds of my clients, you know, all of them have been great. And it's really sad the disproportionate level of black males in there. It's like 72% of the population, black male population. Anyway,
wow.
Out of that population, though, majority of the black males have been very supportive. And I think mm-hmm. it's not because, you know, they recognize I'm a black man, I'm doing well, and I'm there to give them a service to help them out, you know, and maybe relieve some stress for them while they're going through their trials and missing their family and things like that. But it's like I treat them with a certain level of respect. I try mm-hmm. to come in humble. I really don't mm-hmm. even go into my education. Maybe if they ask or something like that, maybe my background, I might share a little bit of. But when it comes a time where I'm just rubbing it in their face, like, oh, I did this, you know, did that. You know, then it becomes something of what are you trying to say about my life? You know, like, you know, if I'm telling them all of this, if I'm gloating and everything like that, I think we have to have a certain level of humbleness.
Gotcha.
Oh, yeah.
I got you, man. So those were some great points, man. I appreciate you for calling in and sharing your expertise on the matter. And thank you for supporting Grown Folks Talk. So, I mean, another black man that actually called in and gave some excellent, key, valid points to this discussion. And
hey, brother, what I found, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but I just wanted to make
this
point. What I found, when you do shows like these, you'll be surprised how many brothers will call in. Like, man, when I've done that's based on brothers or something that's trying to, like, protect the queens or something like that, the goddesses, I should say, you'll be surprised how many brothers are ready to talk. Like, now, remember a minute ago I was talking about lack of communication, but a lot of brothers are fed up. We're more vocal now. Look at us. We're doing radio shows. Man, 10 years ago, you wouldn't get me to say shit. I'd have been just quiet. Like, I'm not talking.
Yeah.
You know, but now you don't even know that. I'm always, you know, talking a voice and saying, Anthony thoughts would come on your show, my show, whatever. So brothers are fed up. We're being more vocal now. You're seeing a lot of positive brothers. You're just hearing, you know, the last few callers, and they want answers, and they have questions. You know what I'm saying? So that's going to just continue.
Go ahead, Dre.
Even adding further into what you just said, not only having questions, but also the brothers that are calling in have answers to give to the community to share with. But the two things that I've been picking up from each caller is, well, really the one main thing is start off being respectful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Our approach is respecting the next man. We don't know what the next man's situation may be, but just our initial approach gives the initial appearance that, okay, this is a decent, meaning myself, that I'm a decent brother to converse with or just to walk past and say hi to. But if I'm walking around, you know, just looking like either I'm bougie or I'm walking around like I'm still on the east side of Detroit with that chip on my shoulder, of course,
I'm going to seem less approachable, or I'm going to be seen, I'm going to come across as a person that's not a positive light or a positive person to converse with. The other thing that I picked up from the other brother that he said is about humility and being humble. And I did do that in the experiment this week. I noticed that I purposely smiled, and not just silly grin, but came across with a positive, good day energy, even when it was raining. And when I walked past a brother and I spoke and he would speak back, and it didn't matter the age, and it didn't matter the demographics, and it didn't matter the class, based off the energy that I was projecting. So when I humble myself and I let go of that frown, or that, you know, Eastside Detroit mug that you give when you walk past somebody, I did find that it was more a positive response.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Like I said, it stems from us. And to be honest, to back up your point, Anthony, there were times where I wouldn't say stuff, and there were times that I would say stuff. I think for me, when I was growing up, people kind of saw something in me, but they also knew that I was kind of hiding it. So it's been times where I could be hanging out with a certain, I'm not going to even front to you, the dudes I used to hang around with. Man, look.
Right.
Let's just say that you would. Let's just say that you wouldn't have thought that I hung around with them based on what you see right now. It's been females that come up to me and say, "Sean, I'm just going to be totally honest with you. Why are you hanging out with them?" And I don't really think that.
Right.
Seriously, this is the question I used to be, and I used to respond like, "What are you talking about? These are my people." So I'm looking at it from a perspective of, and I was actually having this conversation with my wife as we was running errands earlier today. I was telling her, I said, everybody looks for that level of acceptance to where they can feel comfortable. Now, due to the fact that I really didn't have anyone or a positive male role model in my life that actually stuck around to actually see this process through my manhood, the process of my manhood through, I went to where I was naturally accepted and naturally comfortable, which was with the people that I hung around. Now, they promoted everything that was bad within me, which was manipulating women or whatever the hell we were doing back then. But I always knew that I need to be doing better. I need to be doing better. But it was hard to let go of that initial acceptance, because it was a sense of loyalty to those dudes, because they was the first ones to accept me, were the first men to accept me. Because let's be honest, your mother, you know, women, they're going to accept you. But as far as your male unity or whatever the case may be, you're going to stay loyal to those who accept you. So, I mean, that's just where I've seen it from. Hey, if you're online, you want to be a part of this conversation, 646-787-1851. If you're already at the roundtable and you want to re-chime back in, or you want to say something, press 1 or hit 1 again, which I see one of our callers has done, 832-317. We're right back at you. I see that you press 1. What's going on, brother?
Hey, you made a comment earlier. Now, I want you all to realize, and you all may disagree with me, and I don't, like I said, I don't mean no disrespect, and you may have not gotten to this point yet in your life, and you may be there, but the people that I hang around, they really analyze the brain, right? So they really know how the brain works. I'm actually in a partnership with the neuroplasticists, right? And they tell you exactly how the brain works, how you can use NLP to control your brain, the things that your brain is going to do. Now, the reason I say that is because a lot of the new stuff that you see coming down the pipeline is all based on purpose. People are saying that you need your why. Eric Thomas is talking about it. Some of the things that you're talking about when you were talking about Fuck Sean earlier, now, I'm not saying that, Sean. I'm just saying that's what you said, right?
Well, I appreciate you not saying it, but I've heard you.
when guys seem like they jealous, that ain't just in our community. Right. So that's not necessarily a black thing. Some of it is jealousy that someone else has found their purpose. It's a lot of people that are lost in this world. Right. And they they're doing is they're going to I speak to kids. Right. So I talk to kids about being entrepreneurs and this, that and the other. And I got something big coming up out here in Houston, the whole nine. And it's all based around middle school. But what I'm trying to do is get people to see that they, too, have the potential to be great. So, because it's crazy that you go to school and they say, if you work hard at school, right, if you do everything that we tell you to do and you work hard at school and you make sacrifices and you make great decisions, you might have the possibility to work hard for somebody else for the rest of your life. You may have that possibility. That's crazy to me, right? That's not saying that you over your own destiny in the whole nine. Now, with that being said, because that's the mentality, when people are doing that or they stray away from that, they have no place to go. But then they see a Sean Upshaw that used to kick it, that used to be on the block, and all of a sudden you find your purpose and pedal to the metal, you on go, right? So now it's a disgruntled situation. It ain't got nothing to do with black, white, this, that, and the other. It's like, man, fuck Sean. That's because it ain't got nothing to do. Right. You see what I'm saying? It's like I'm jealous that you got Christmas morning every morning. You waking up thinking that today is the present, and I'm waking up feeling like I just got to go to damn work. You know what I mean? So with those types of situations, that's when the wisdom kicks in. That's why I said it depends on where you are in your life, to where you almost talking godly to people, like, okay, my child, I see where you at. I know you're frustrated. You too may get to this point, but you got to have the wherewithal in yourself to read books, to search and find. Because if you just didn't, and that's to me where I try to teach the kids, is that you have to be looking for what your superpower is. Right. Mm-hmm. You have to be looking for those opportunities. If you read The Alchemist, it'll talk about omens.
That's my book right there.
Right. You got to look for those omens, even though he had to come full circle to go back where he started. It was still the wisdom that he acquired. Les Brown says the easiest thing to do was to make $1 million. The hardest thing to do was to create the mindset to make $1 million. You see what I'm saying? So when you say that, I just know a little bit about the brain. That's all I'm saying.
Gotcha.
Is that so sometimes you gotta be a little bit more patient with those that come up from the generation that was before us, that they were just trying to make it. Because think about that from a generation standpoint. This is going to be my last point. And then I ain't going to chime in no more because I ain't trying to take over y'all show. I'm just trying to say. So here's
nah,
the thing,
brother,
though.
Yeah.
Doing good, brother.
Yeah.
Right. So, but here's the thing. Think about the generation. It's not that many generations ago that we were slaves, right?
True.
So you went from the slave part to the end that we was fighting to where they wasn't hosing us down and letting the dogs out, to where we had affirmative action. And affirmative action was one of those situations, regardless to what you think of it, it was one of those situations that now we made it, now we just need to survive. We need to do exactly what they tell us to do to let them know that we as good as they are and we can retire. And so we came from that type of family. And so now our generation, it seems like it's taking us longer, but everybody's missing the big picture. Because the big picture is that our generation, it may have taken us a little bit longer, but we live in our destinies. We live in our purpose. We're not just going to work every day. Cats is writing books. Cats got radio shows. Cats is speaking. Yeah. And, you know, we got speaking engagements. I own my own business. I don't know if Sean know who I am, but he know who I am. You know what I mean?
So it's that type of
situation.
People call secret callers now?
No. Hey, this is Nolan Davis.
Oh, what's going on, brother? I didn't know that was you.
Right. Right, that's what I figured. That's what I said.
Yeah.
You don't know who I am, but you know who I am.
You know who
I
am.
My name
exactly.
on
Got
right.
you. Got
so,
you.
So it's that type of situation that we now in a state of mind that we like, we can get it a little bit more, and we trying to figure it out. So it's nobody taught us this. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's a trial and it's a track and measure, trial and error. It's all of that going on. So when people are like, fuck Sean, like, dude, they jealous from the standpoint that they like, it's hard for me to get up every day and this dude is smiling, writing books. Your man just said, you know, when I smile and say something, that's God on his face. Everybody want to talk to God. You ain't, like you said, he said, I ain't out there looking silly, but if you got a genuine care about you, that's God on your face. Everybody go respond to God. If they don't, you need to get the fuck away. I mean, you need to get away from them as soon as possible. You see what I'm saying?
I'm with you. I'm with you. Man, Nolan, man, it's good to hear your voice, man. I appreciate you for calling in and dropping those jewels, man. It's been a while, man. It's been a while.
Yeah. Hey, I looked at my email and I saw what it was about. Like, dude, everybody can talk and complain about shit. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
Like,
yeah,
I see all of these shows, and everybody want to talk about what's wrong when you really starting to trying to come up with a solution, peel that onion back, get to the middle, or build something positive to give people a choice, then I'm your man, $100,000.
Well, that is. That is. Man, get with me offline, brother, man. Appreciate you calling in and supporting.
Yeah, yeah, all the time. One.
So, man, this has been a hell of a show. Definitely a hell of a show.
Ooh, yeah.
And like I said, when I came up with the topic, I didn't even know that it was going to turn into what it's turned into, even from Tuesday. I mean, Dre, you had a chance to listen to how powerful that
Tuesday
show
was
is.
Phenomenal as well.
Yeah. When we talked to the ladies about, you know, the rift between the dark skin and the light skin women within our community or within the minority culture, period. Like, this goes deep. But at the end of the day, like he said, I'm trying to peel back the onion one layer at a time. And I think that the foundation is, like I said, having these type of conversations and giving people an outlet. That's one of the things that I was saying. Nobody has nothing to be heard. It's all orders being barked, but nobody has the chance to give the response. So, you know, I appreciate you, brothers, man, for even coming on and being as transparent as you have been thus far. And the callers as well as being transparent as they have thus far to just, you know, try to do something to close this gap between us. Because I'm just going to be totally honest with you. It's getting ridiculous. It's getting utterly ridiculous. Yeah. And for those who decided that they wanted to say, fuck Sean, well, let me tell you something about why you shouldn't say fuck Sean. If you want to be where I'm at, then you have to do what I do. See, the thing of it is nobody up with me or nobody sees that I'm up late nights, 3 or 4 in the morning and getting right back up at 7:15 to go out here and grind. Nobody sees the time that I put in to write these books to make sure that I'm sounding right, to give to the people, to make sure they understand the way I think or to put it in a form to where they can understand what I'm trying to say. Nobody sees the behind the scene problems. All they see is the shine. Or what they perceive to be a shine, but they don't know. I'm struggling just like the next man. I just made the choice not to let that struggle dictate my walk or dictate my or dictate anything that goes on with my day. So that's just where I'm at, and that's why I try to surround myself with positive brothers like yourself, Anthony, and like you, Dre, because motivators need motivating too, brother. Let's just be honest about this entire situation. Mm-hmm. So
you know what I like about Go ahead, brother.
No, go ahead.
The one thing that I did like that the brother mentioned, and you know I mention this quite often, and once again, that's one of those elephant in the room moments that the freed African American or minority, you could put any culture in there right about now, the freed minority culture is relatively young. Mm-hmm. We're the first or second generation, we're really the first generation of these major book writers that are not being stymied by racism to the extent of our forefathers, that aren't being limited when it comes to our entrepreneurial dreams like our foremothers. We're really a relatively very young, when you put a timeline or make a graph of the years where other cultures, the Egyptian culture, the European culture, the Asian culture, these cultures have been around 2,000-4,000 years old. Let's talk about how we always talk about how young America itself is. You know, a 500-year-old culture itself, the stolen America that I mean, the American Indian had been here, and the Africans and the Aztecs and the Mayans and the Mexicans have been here for thousands of years. But what I'm talking about, this Europeanized America, it's young itself. And then we, within that culture being free, we are a very young culture. So to look up on us, to expect us to be immediately mature, immediately focused, immediately successful as some of these cultures that have been around 5,000-7,000 years old, and our culture can't even say we're 200 years old yet, a free culture, minority culture, that has a lot to do with it as well. I one of the things that keeps me going and not chastising, that's what my point is, that's one of the things that keeps me from chastising
judging or prejudging or presupposing my brother and my sister is because I know how young our culture is. We have only had a if you sit back, you think about it, brothers, we've only had maybe one or two generations of really deep into the entrepreneur, deep into our dreams, deep into ourselves. Just think about how much biasness that was just going on over 20 years ago in the 80s. How much drugs that was being infiltrated into our communities. How many bodies of African-American males and females that were incarcerated. We're the first ones that you actually can sit back and say, I can cut on television and see billionaires. We never saw that before. Not in the 20s, not in the 30s, not in the 1800s. We saw bits and pieces and look at them like this month during Black History Month. But now it's slowly becoming a norm in our culture of success. And we're the first generation to see that. So a lot of the ills and the foolishness and the childishness and the insecurities and the fears are based on the fact also we're just young. We're just a young culture that's like the one brother said, we're learning trial by fire.
Yeah. That's interesting that you brought that up because I'm not – proclaiming it to be a voracious reader or anything, but I do pick up a book from time to time. And one of the books that I picked up, it was a book on entrepreneurship. And out of that entire book, it was about 400 pages. The only interesting thing that I found out of that book is when it broke down the number of business owners. And it was saying how one out of every 67 African Americans is a business owner. Now, I looked at that and I said, So if you put 67 people, 67 Black men or Black women or whatever the case may be together, you only find one business owner out of them, which means they have the innovative mind to actually create for themselves. So my question is, what are the other 66? And then I looked at other cultures and it said for Korean is one out of every five. For the Caucasian, I think it was one out of every 10. But like I said, the only important part that I looked at was it was one out of 67. So my thing is, if it's only one out of that 67 that has the mental capacity to push forward and be innovative enough to try to create something for not only themselves, but clearly their family and friends and everybody associated with them, what are the other 66 picking up that forces them not to support this one person that decides to be bold, which leads into my next question. Why is it so hard for us as Black men to support each other? Do you understand the power that we can have if we just come together and actually support each other versus trying to get there first? Like it's this imaginary race in their mind, Anthony. What are you going to say, Anthony?
No, I was about to say it's more so the mindset, and it's not even maybe our parents or grandparents' faults or our grace. But if you think back of some of the mindset, we would kind of talk, man, don't shop with Black people. You better go find your white person to fix their air conditioning. Or when you get a hole in your roof, don't hire no black man. They don't know what they're doing. You know, that's some of the things that we're always hearing. So now that you have these new entrepreneurs that's hungry, that's out here, it's still that mindset. Like, man, I'm not going to that corner store that's Black owned. I'm going to Walmart. It's all a mindset. You know, we just have to start. You know, like the other brother mentioned earlier about how it's a whole new age of people that's just out here setting their own, creating their own. We have to just at least try. Now, in any business, even if you look at Walmart, AT&T, you're always going to have somebody complaining. But the biggest problem with us is that when we complain about one another, we just completely cut each other off. Do you know how many millionaires and whites, Jews, Asians, whatever race, they can't stand each other?
They can't stand each other.
But they can sit down across from each other and continue to make millions. We don't think that way. If my homie pissed me off or if I piss Sean off, we done. And we don't think about the numbers that we can do together. And that's the whole biggest problem. Because if we say, look, if we might not be friends, we might not be the best of associates, but when me and Sean sit down, we know how to make $1 million a year. So why can't we do that?
Well, let me tell you this, Anthony. Anybody that I fell out with, they created their own exit, brother. Let's just be honest here. So when you create your own exit, I mean, that's on you. But my thing is, it's easy to get back in my life. You know how you do it? Just be real and admit your shit. When you real and admit your shit,
it was my
then
fault.
We able to, yeah, exactly. Back to mm-hmm. what Dre said earlier, it was my fault. When you real and admit your shit, then it puts me in position to say, you know what? I know what could have triggered that. Here's the part that I played. But see, the thing of it is nobody on that level as far as, you know, to express to each other in the Black community, we really not on that level to come to someone man to man and say, hey, I fucked up. Let me tell you why.
And you know that, and that's the big problem because we're losing. We're losing a lot of time.
Losing,
we're not getting no younger. We're losing a lot of money. And at this point, it's about planning
definitely.
for your baby girl and for my own. You know, it's about every time you can think about putting a dollar up and you attach your goddess or your princess to that dollar just in case something happened to you. We don't think about living wills. We don't think about investing. We don't think about none of that stuff. And then when it happens, it's like, oh, shit, you know, I could have did this and did that. We losing. You know, we losing as a people. It's not even about Black men. It's not even about Black women. As a people, we're losing. So the more that we sit around and have these different attitudes, I don't even give a fuck what the reason is, the more that we're losing.
I agree. And we got another caller, 773-936-773-936. You're on Grown Folks Talk with Sean D. Upshaw. What's on your mind?
Hi. Hi, guys. It's Michelle from Chicago.
Hey, Michelle. What's going on?
What? I wasn't going to press one because I love to let guys do what guys do. But you guys kind of touched on the fact that you said 1 in 67 Black people in a room will be an entrepreneur. And I really think that one of the most important things that we can do, and this is kind of another topic, but we need to be able to reach out to people like Nolan talked about, to our young people, and change their minds. And not just change their minds, but show them, tell them the successful way to go about things. Because in Chicago, we had a Black-owned restaurant in River North, which is kind of a mostly vanilla area. But they owned a restaurant, but they were so busy doing shortcuts around permits and trying to dodge this and dodge that they ended up closed. And so then that makes it really hard for the next businessman who's Black who wants to do things the right way. So we need some instruction. We don't have a generation, a father or a grandfather to tell us, you go here to get this permit or you go there or you shouldn't, to give you this, to show you the importance of going about things the right way. Because just to be making money doesn't make you, to me, a business owner. A business owner supports other people, has employees. And we need to go beyond just ourselves and our family and support and get our businesses right so that we can support other people. We can have employees with health insurance and all of that. So we just need to be instructed on how to do things the right way. And the advantage of going about things the right way instead of going for the quick money.
Got you. Great point. And I think she's hitting the nail right on the head as far as having someone to teach us. I don't have all the answers. I'm not going to confront you. Every mentor that I ever had in life or asked to be a mentor, for some strange reason, they dropped out of my life. They reminded me of my father. Said they was going to be there, then all of a sudden they disappeared. So I never had a mentor. Like I've been mentoring my damn self and really just talking to God on a whole nother level about, you know, why is it that I can keep an older male in my life long enough to really see me through this process. Half this stuff I'm actually learning on the fly by reading and by talking to other brothers like you. I just want us to come together, and I really want us to get out of the whole mindset of just trying to get there first. Because the thing of it is I don't understand why people are trying to get there first, because it's almost like, all right, I'm trying to get there first because so I can show you what I did and leave you where you at, which is some bullshit. It's just straight up some bullshit. So
I
think we need to come together. And this is another thing about our race that really pisses me off. We can come together. Mm-hmm. We can have these conversations And just like I went to Memphis one time to speak, and we sat there, we had a positive conversation about what we're going to do and how we can do it, blah, blah, blah. And after that, shit went dark. That's the one thing that irritates me about my people. We can sit up here all day and say what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. And then as soon as this day is over, we right back to being conditioned to what we were focusing on and forget everything that we talked about. So
yeah,
when is it going to change?
I mean, I don't want to upset too many people, but when you think about some of the concepts at most churches, what is it? You go in there on Sunday, you get filled up with a lot, whatever you get filled up with.
Bro, don't even get me
you get
started.
Out of church, you back at your regular routine.
Don't,
I mean,
don't even get me started. Don't even get me started on that whole aspect of church.
when you look at that mentality, but see, that's the root of it, because a lot of us was raised off of it. We was raised off that mentality. You do whatever for those 6 days. I don't basically care what you do, but on that seventh day, which is not even really the seventh day if you start getting metaphysical with it, but hey, that's a whole other show. But on that seventh day, you kind of, you know, cool down, and you go here for an hour to 3 hours, and then, you know, you go back to the same routine. And we've been conditioned that way. So it's hard, you know. Just be thankful you was able to come out of that condition. Be thankful, Dre, that you was able to come out of that condition. And I know I'm thankful that I was able to come out of it, but it's hard for the average person who don't have better answers or better questions to do that. When they only know something, they only
they
know
stick
it.
To it. Yeah, they stick to it. So,
and if me and you show up and Dre show up and we talk to them for 3 hours, they're going to be like, man, y'all was cold as hell. Hell yeah, that's what I'm talking about. But as soon as we leave, guess where they're going?
But you want to know what's funny? It's funny that you brought that up, because I'm having in Black History Month, because I said this is what Grown Folks Talk is going to be centered around. In 2 weeks, I'm actually having that conversation, and it's entitled "It seems like nobody loved God in church like Black people, but why?" So, I'm having that conversation, and it's going to piss a lot of people off. But yeah. I'm going there.
Yeah.
I'm going there because I'm
We have to start going there. A lot of us, you know, one thing we don't like to talk about religion. We don't like to talk about finances. We don't like to talk about politics. But I believe in your Black History Month, as you do these shows, you should address these issues. We have to, and you know how I feel about that. We've had personal conversations. I don't mind getting into the nail nitty gritty of when you talk about religion and how it has pretty much brainwashed us. This is the main reason, and almost the only reason, we're in the condition that we're in. And you know why? Because we Black people, and I'm specifically talking about us, we are the most spiritual people in the world. But they lied to us. They used that against us. And that's one of our biggest problems today. But I mean, that's a whole, well, I can go on.
Yeah, that's a whole other story. And to be honest with you, don't be surprised if I bring you back for the Thursday Men panel on that show.
You already know. I'm ready for them shows. So
I already
know.
So we got another caller. We got about 13 minutes before we lose the live feed. I don't know if we're going to go over, but if we do go over, it's going to be typically by probably a minute or two. But I definitely want to get all the callers in. But we got about 13 minutes before we lose the live feed. If you're online live streaming, you need to get in here. 646-787-1851 if you want to hear the remaining show, because I'm taking every call until it's done, unless it's just outrageously late. But anyway, 903-327-9033-327, Young Grown Folks Talk with Sean D. Upshaw. What's on your mind?
Good evening, gentlemen. It's DeAndrea. How are you, sir?
Hey, how are you, DeAndrea?
Hey.
One of our guest panelists on Tuesday. So, well, I appreciate you for following up on Thursday. What's going on?
Of course. Do I have my silver star yet?
Yeah. You got your silver
star.
You're out the basement. Yeah, you're out the basement.
Well, I think it's very interesting how this topic has morphed into what it is. And, you know, I mourn for our Black men in terms of between the civil rights, you know, and oppression through that, between women's rights, men, our Black men have been displaced. So a lot of times it's not necessarily that they're jealous or fighting towards one another. It's they don't know where they belong anymore, because it was a point in time where they had refuge at home. But now you have this movement of women, oh, I don't need a man. I don't need my baby daddy. Don't, you know, that's who he is. It's like, so they don't have a place in the home anymore. They don't have a place in the marketplace anymore, and so on and so forth. So where do they go? Except to, you know, okay, now we have to fight for this prize, not realizing that it's a whole pie. So when you think about building a business, it's not necessarily, for whatever reason, the mindset is we're supporting other businesses rather than partnering with other businesses. Because at the end of the day, you can make the best pot of chili east of the Mississippi, but that's what you do. Then hire the black man that has a CPA company. Then hire, you know, a black-owned business that does this. So what happens is it's that's how you begin to lift as you climb and begin to take over your community. You know, I've worked around a lot of Jewish people. And when you really study what they do, it's like, wow, they keep their dollars in their community whenever possible. They hire and partner with and vendor with their own race. So it's one of those things where we're all building at the same time. And yes, you may be the best writer and I may be the best chef and she may be the best seamstress. It doesn't make any one of us better or worse because we're all in a different arena. And when we get to the point that we can understand that everybody has value and everyone has a purpose in our purpose, then that's when you'll be able to see we can come together and rise as a people and quit thinking that motivation is a feeling. If something doesn't give us butterflies and hype us all up, we don't think that's motivation. The best motivation I've ever received were the things that hurt me, were the things that I was like, okay, ouch. But it caused me to change. It caused transformation in my life rather than just saying, okay, I have that emotional high, because when that emotion changed, so will your reactions change.
It's like sugar. I can go in there and eat my favorite candy, which is Reese's, because I can eat about 17 of them joints and be hype as hell. But once that crash come down, that's a wrap.
You're going to crash hard.
It's a wrap.
Is you're going to feel worse than you did before you ate all those Reese cups. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, you have to at some point say, you know what, I know I'm not going to give this person this, but at the end of the day, you know what, try it. Try saying, you know, this black man's not better than me. He's different. This black woman doesn't know more. She just knows something different. You know, as you and I were having a conversation the other day, if we all know the same thing, then at some point one of us is irrelevant. Because who's, you know, great minds don't think alike. They think together.
That's
so
great point.
We keep that, you know, and that in our forefronts of our minds. We can impact our youth. We can impact one another and keep moving our race forward as we collectively come together in one direction and stop thinking about who's going to lead, who's going to be there first, instead of, you know, building that cohesiveness.
Great points. Great points. And listen,
yes, sir.
You killed it on Tuesday, and then you came on here on Thursday and said something as well and killed it. So
yay!
I appreciate you.
So I'm going to graduate from Sean's How to Be a Friend class.
There you go. There you go. See you out the basement. You got that silver star now. So, you have a good night.
Congratulations.
All right, sir.
Thank you. Oh, man. So we reached that part in the show that, you know, I just hate. We got to wrap it up. But as I always say, with the limited time that we have, it's really not too much we can do. But I really feel like we do enough. And I really think this is the foundation that has been laid out, the conversation. Just have the conversation, because what happens is now is in people's subconscious to think about how to better not only themselves, but just us as black men and bring together that whole unity. Because I'm not going to front to you. Integration is the way to go in my eyes. Some people may disagree, but we need to integrate, period. Segregating is not doing nothing for us. Being apart is not doing nothing for us. You got one person over here who can do this. It's like having one person over here that is one puzzle piece and you over here that has the other puzzle piece. And you two Negroes know that if y'all come together, y'all can create something beautiful. But yet and still, you want to stay over there, and you want to stay over there. So it's crazy. But that's just the way, that's just our mentality right now. But anyway, Anthony, man, I appreciate you for coming on Grown Folks Talk, man. Mm-hmm. You always know the door is always open for you. And I'm saying it right now, if you want to come on that show in a couple of weeks that we're going to have on religion, man, you're more than welcome. I just have my people reach out to you. You just say the word and you're there, man.
Absolutely, okay. Man. I have no problem with that. Just do what whatever I got to do, man. Just let me know.
Cool. So let the people know how they can continue to follow you and support your movement, brother, as we move forward to end the show.
Again, I'm on Facebook, Anthony D. Collins, Twitter at Anthony D. Collins. I do a show on Vibration Radio. Well, now I got to get in the habit of saying your radio networks in association with Vibration Radio and Telekinesis Media. It's called the Anthony and B-Fly Show. That's every other Sunday at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. And then every Saturday, me and Brother Trent Williams, we do a show called Your Energy, Your World Show, 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. And that's pretty much it. But, and of course, my book, Life is Outstanding, it's pretty much everywhere, Amazon, my website, and all that good stuff, man. But, I really just love just coming on and having the opportunity and sharing knowledge with you. And it was a pleasure meeting you, Dre. And I listen to the show quite often,
too,
man. I might not comment. I archive a lot of stuff, but I'm a fan of radio. So I'm a fan of yours. I'm a fan of different shows. So keep doing what you're doing, brother. Keep doing what you're doing.
Hey, man. Appreciate that support. See, that's what it's all about, man. And you guys, I meant to tell you earlier, man, that show that you guys had on Sunday, phenomenal. Class.
Oh, appreciate that, man.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So continue to do what you do, man. And as I said, I'll see you in a couple of weeks as we talk about this whole religion thing with us black folks. So have a good night. Man.
Hey, Dre, I'm going to reach out to you on Facebook, man. I'll see you on here. I'm going to send you a friend request, bro.
Definitely.
All right. Okay. All right.
I'm going, man.
All right, man. Peace out. So the thing of it is man, this has been a good week, Dre. It's been a good week. I was sick last week. Yeah, I was sick last week, but now I'm better. You didn't even hear the change in my voice, brother. I'm better. I got cold up off. So, I always hit you with the topic. Yeah, exactly. I always hit you with the topic for next week. That way it gives you a chance to really sit and think and be prepared for when we meet back at the round table on Thursday. But next week topic, stand within the whole Black History Month of topics for Grown Folks Talk with Sean D. Upshaw. We're going to be talking about how do I reach common ground with the Black mother or Black father to blend the Black family. That's going to be one of those topics that's near and dear to me. I'm not going to front to you. So the thing of it is
you and I both. So we know.
Yeah. So the thing of it is what I want to accomplish with that topic is I'm not saying that rift doesn't occur outside the Black community, but with me being in the Black community, it seems like it's always a rift between mother and stepmother or stepfather and real father when it comes to, these kids and not being able to really blend these families because one parent is poisoning the other. And you know how that shit go. It's crazy.
Exactly.
So
we're going to hold tight to this topic.
Yeah, we're going to chop it up. So until next week, as the multi-millionaire said, keep it real. As I say, don't let anybody steal your joy. We ask that you have a great weekend and be prepared to meet us back at the roundtable on Tuesday as we go live again for another episode of Grown Folks Talk. It's been a phenomenal show. It's been a phenomenal week. And I've just been getting phenomenal support from you guys. So I can't ask any more from you, but just continue to support as we grow. And remember, this is for y'all. So we'll see you next week at the roundtable, Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Have a great night. We out.
On behalf of Sean D. Upshaw and the Grown Folks Talk Radio Network, we'd like to thank you for tuning in to tonight's episode. We hope that you left with more knowledge and understanding than what you came with. But in case you didn't, lucky for you, we'll be back next week at the same time, same place. So until then, remember to never let anyone steal your joy. See you at the roundtable next Tuesday and Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern.